published as an alternative to level DB, it's in their interest to make it easy to benchmark against level DB.
Right. I guess if it exports the same APIs, which is reasonable because
it's a fork of level DB.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can just use the same interface infrastructure that we have to evaluate level DB. I'll give it a try. It shouldn't take too long to test it.
Yeah, that was sort of my hope, and I, you know, hopefully you agree with me, Raju. I actually think that would make the paper, you know, really, you know.
I absolutely agree. I agree, 100%. I think that would be good.
One more point that we had pending from last week, Swami suggested to do some verification test to make sure that we're actually getting the data that we're putting into the database, we're also getting it. So I made some changes on DirectKV and added some logging infrastructure. And I know for sure that the database is getting, like, we're getting the requests are getting to DirectKV to do puts and gets and things like that. Although I haven't been able to verify the correctness of the data that we're fetching from DirectKV. Another thing that we'll be interested to check is also see the reamplification effect that, as you said, as you saw in the email that I sent, our version of the FTL doesn't support, like, the fire status command that we have, it doesn't support for the flags that you said. I think it's minus S and minus Y.
No, it was minus S and minus J. I meant to respond to you. But the fact that it's not supporting minus S probably just, you know, that by itself may, you know. Now, while I have you here, you printed out, you sent to me the PropFusion tree, right? And let me take a look at it right now, because I looked at it before and I wanted to talk to you about it in the next meeting. So I have the PropFusion tree up here in front of me.
Can we open it here?
What is it?
Do you remember the, it was an email that I sent.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I should have
you guys it. Want me to forward it back to you? I have it here.
Sure, yeah. That would be good.
That one.
This one?
Yes, that.
Oh, I found it. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, but I can barely see what's here. This. There's some special characters in here.
Okay. So now my question to you, Leo, was, I'll give you guys a minute to open it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for some reason, when I also first opened it, it was unreadable.
It's probably the Mac.
Can you open it maybe with
again?
BI or Emacs?
Oh,
or
sure, yeah. I can do that. Cancel this.
I'm sorry, that's just the RAL output from the tree command.
Yeah.
It's using some UTF character.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Wow, we are smarter than TextEdit.
Okay, so question now for you, Leo, is all these things, you're basically just, this is just a dumb question, but there are actually, these are readable entries / prop to you, right?
Nisha, all I did was print the tree because I figured that would be useful for you guys to tell me, okay, you can use this and you can use that.
Okay, so what I'm trying to say is, okay, so if you go to the, you know, in your tree, go to the level that says FIO, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Underneath
it,
go to the level that says data.
FIOA or no?
Yeah, go to FIO, then FIOA, then data, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm with you, okay? And at the very top of data, you'll see a thing called free lab, and then at the very bottom, you'll see two things called total labs and used labs.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
See that? Okay, so those three values can be used to track write amplification.
Oh.
So a lab, it stands for logical erase block, is a unit of accounting on our device.
Okay.
Okay, and basically the total lab value should be a static number that should not change during any of your runs, and the used labs plus the free labs should equal total labs at any point in time.
Hmm.
Okay, and so if you take the capacity of the device, the physical capacity of the device, and divide it by the total length number, that will tell you the size of the length. And don't worry too much about what length mean to us, because that's an internal, you know, proprietary implementation detail. Suffice it to say that when you take the capacity of the device and you divide it by the total length, that will tell you the size of this thing we call a LEB. And then after that, used LEB is the amount of data that has been written to the device, and free LEB is the amount of physical space on the device that happens to be free.
Okay.
And so if you know, wrote, for example, if you wrote, you know, I don't know, you know, 200 gigs worth of what you thought was logical data, and the used LEB count shows that the device seems to be holding, you know, 250 gigs of physical data, then your write amp is essentially, you know, 250 over 200.
Hmm. Okay.
So I think so in short, I think you have enough information.
Great. That's wonderful.
If these numbers are reportable to you.
Okay.
So the next thing is to figure out how to get these numbers, right? What flags to turn on and...
This is all there,
right? It's imported right now, yeah.
So I'm assuming I can just cat those files and and read the content.
Yeah, you can just cat those files and that will tell you.
Okay. So it's just not exported into the flag, into the,
yeah,
into the logging infrastructure.
Right. The tool that is supposed to read this and print it out in a nice format,
yeah,
we don't have it, but we can just read it. Is that correct, Nisha? We can just read the file, right? Okay.
You can use this, what I just said. Just do what I just said, and that will tell you the write-up.
Perfect. That's very nice. I was hoping that sharing this information for you guys, if you guys would be useful, and it was nice.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
So we don't have to go to another round of driver update.
No. I think we should be able to get what we need out of this.
Okay. So our next step then is to...
Nisha, do you think would it make sense for us to get any significant statistics about the groomer? Like the type of... I don't know if it makes sense that with this database, the groomer has to do this much work, and with this database, the groomer has to do this much work.
Groomer is the garbage collector?
This is the garbage collector,
yeah. At a high level, Leo, yes, because, and this is why I suggested we measure sort of the write amp and the physical writing, because, you know, on one hand, you've got direct KV, which is really just, you know, using the device as a big sparse device, and the only garbage collection happening is the device's own groomer. With level DB, you've got a compaction process that is, you know, trying to garbage collect on top of what the device is garbage collecting. You essentially have two garbage collectors that are running, you know, in some uncoordinated but possibly cooperative manner. And so if you were to, I think probably the first thing to do would be just a high order thing, which is to say that, okay, the user wrote a certain amount of data. And after the key value store got done with it, as the device got done with it, a certain amount of physical data got read and written. And so the ratio of those two is the ultimate write application from the customer's point of view or the consumer's point of view. And then, you know, and then compare that number for level DB on top of Flash to NVMe KV, direct KV on top of Flash, and see, you know, in both of the cases, you know, if the user thought that they inserted, you know, 1 gigabyte of key value pairs, how much work did the device actually end up doing? And then after that, we can maybe possibly by looking at the intermediates, we can say, okay, you know, now there's this intermediate layer, which is if the user wrote 1 gigabyte, then LevelDB converted that into, you know, 1.5 gigabytes of writes and, you know, 3 gigabytes of reads or some number, and then the device converted that. And then for NVMe KV, also do that same breakdown and say, okay, you know, what kind of amplification was added by the KV store, and then what kind of amplification sat on top. Make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
So how do we, sorry Nisha, I just had a question. How do we get the amplification that is introduced by level DB? Is just the system calls?
I mean, I think we would need to track the logical data as seen by the device. And I don't think the flash proc, I don't think the fusion flash proc tells you that, but something like IOSTAT might tell you that.
And the IOSTAT is all the stats prior to the fusion FTL software.
Yes, the IOSTAT is what's coming into the fusion FTL.
Okay. Okay, got it. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you guys would like, Raju, have you seen our SysTor paper from last year where we talked about cache at write-up?
No.
Have you come across that yet?
No.
Okay, I'll try to dig that up and forward it to you guys, because we did this really thorough study of a similar concept but with caches, where we had this notion of cache layer write amplification and flash layer write amplification, where we said, okay, you know, the user, you know, actually read this much data and wrote this much data.
Yeah.
The cache amplified it by X, the device amplified it by Y, and in the end, X times Y is what the user got the amplification.
Mm-hmm.
We did that very meticulously for cache, and we got some really interesting results. You might find this. There might be some parallel in your methodology.
Yeah, sounds good. I would want to read that paper anyway. Now, so Leo, next steps, I guess, are some stats that will report on write amplification at various levels, I think. And we want to try and get RocksDB to support YCSB, see if it does.
Right.
Right.
So if I understood correctly, at least the high-level methodology would be you fire IOSTAT after you format the media, make a copy of the entire tree, execute your workload, make another copy of the tree, and save the values of IOSTAT. And from there, we can collect all the data that we need for every workload.
I guess you don't need the entire tree. You just need the specific proc entries that you care about.
Yeah, I think I'd rather save the entire tree in case later we say.
Okay. Yeah, actually, that's a good idea.
It is not too hard for you to take the entire tree. We might. There may be other things in here that if Swami and I were to prowl over, we will see something,
Yes.
That will be insightful. So just grab the whole tree.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. That's good.
Okay. So the other thing which Leo and I wanted to run by you guys was the publication target.
Yeah.
And I think one of the venues that we did talk about was MSST, which is coming up in first week of March.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, I mean, if we miss that one, and I can only think of FAST as, or, you know, and then hot storage is there, but our paper is too big for hot storage. Then the next...
Go ahead, Roger.
Yeah, the next one is FAST is all I was going to say.
Yeah, I think, that makes sense. I mean, I was mulling over the hot storage thing also and kind of came to the same conclusion as, if we want to try to do something in hot storage, we would have to go out of our way to create a short version. And then create a long version later, and that seemed to me to be a lot of work. I'm good with targeting MSST as we talked about last time.
Okay.
I think that's, it's timely, it's a good, merge between content and deadline, so.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. So maybe at our next meeting we can, I don't know if it should be the next meeting or the meeting after, but at some point we should revisit the paper that we already have and see, in which way does it change for the submission. Because we already have a paper, a fairly detailed paper that was written out.
I'm okay whether it's next week or the week after. I think if it's not next week, I think it is definitely the week after. Maybe we can just plan on starting that discussion next week, and that way we can all take a look at the paper and you know, think about, you know, we had some review comments from SAS, but I actually think the paper is probably going to receive a somewhat more major overhaul than even what those comments suggested.
Yeah.
You know, every time I read that paper, I'm struck by how rough it is, and every time I find something new about it that feels rough to me.
Okay. So then we'll meet next Tuesday at our regular time, which is 4 p.m. on Tuesday. Is that still work for you, Anisha?
It's 1 o'clock Pacific, right?
Tuesdays.
Next Tuesday, 1 o'clock Pacific is not going to work for me. I'm apparently doing a talk at that time. I think I should be able to find about a 1 hour slot on Wednesday or Thursday. Would one of those work for you, Ben?
How about same time next week, which is Thursday 1 p.m.?
Perfect.
Yeah?
I will do Thursday 1 o'clock. I will have Swami reschedule that.
Okay.
Perfect.
And I think, I'm not sure if we need a new WebEx information for this, because it's a different time. Does it matter?
Yeah, we absolutely do. WebEx is very sticky to their time.
Okay.
So don't worry about it. I'll take care of that, and somewhere between me and Swami will figure out something.
Okay.
All right.
Great.
1 o'clock next Thursday it is.
Yes. Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Anisha.
Okay, bye, Anisha.
Talk to you next week.
Okay. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.